Hello and welcome to the Listening Award podcast, examining blended learning throughout the coronavirus pandemic. I am Charlie, a third year biological science student.
I'm Georgia, a postgraduate film studies student.
And I am Grace, a second year politics, philosophy and law student. And we're really excited to have you here. Hope you enjoy.
Hello and welcome to this this very special episode of Listening at Warwick with the three of us. You've seen us all present, but here we have Georgia, Grace and me, Charlie, and we are talking about everything and anything in regards to online learning, I guess. Instead, we are just reviewing all the topics that we have gone over with our respective interviewees, and you know, we're just going to take a big old look at our opinions on online learning in the past year at Warwick. So let's head straight into it.
So it's actually interesting because we were all in different years. So Georgia was obviously doing her postgrad. Charlie, you were doing your...
My third year.
Yes, your third year, final year of uni. And like you had quite a few labs and stuff. Am I right?
Yes. Yes. So
you're still in person, like the majority of it?
Yeah, kind of. So... what is interesting, yeah, is I was a STEM student, and that kind of has the notion of you've got to go in with, like, humanities, you can just have seminars online and stuff, but I've got to have the practical aspect. And it was weird, because for the first half, I actually had to go away for a week to do one of my labs, which was fine. It was, like, a nice holiday. It was all very COVID secure, but that was, like, half of my module done. And then the rest kind of... we had to wait until restrictions allowed it because the rest of the department kind of prioritised not undergrads for the labs, which makes sense. But it was interesting. It was still mostly online without, like, the last half of term three being able to go in and do stuff.
I don't know. Did you feel sort of, like, at a disadvantage? Because obviously you said they prioritised postgrads, or were you just sort of like, I'm getting used to this. This is what...
It was kind of unfair, but I was very fortunate in the last year because my undergraduate, like, dissertation, I did have a space to do it, but there's quite a few students in my year. There's about 300 biologists in total in the School of Life Sciences doing their third year projects, and quite a few of them had to switch to a dry project, which is basically just like a regular dissertation where you just do a literature review, and quite a few of them, because of lack of space, had to switch to that, but I didn't. I was lucky. But had things gotten any worse, like if I was like doing my fourth year dissertation and stuff, that would have been the risk that I really couldn't have done anything. So I feel fortunate, but I feel the risk of like being, of having like a less quality educational practical degree would have been, was a reality for many students in my year. It was actually kind of, you kind of had to deal with it. There's not really much you could do when they said COVID restrictions can't let us do this. You kind of just couldn't go, well, I want to do it anyway. You kind of just got to deal with it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. How is it for, like, humanities? Like, I guess the library is quite an important resource when you've got quite a lot of reading to do. Yeah. But that was closed for most of the year.
Yeah, no, it was. So it was, yeah, very difficult in that sense because, like, I think I probably said this on other episodes, but I, like, throughout my educational experience, I've never worked at home ever. Like from year 10 onwards, basically, I would always go to the library or like use facilities at my sixth form or my secondary school. So it was like completely new, trying to adapt to, you know, working from home and trying to get things done, and just, yeah, I felt like it was very much, but yeah, not having a library was interesting, to say the least, because it was one of those things where occasionally the library would, like, if the library was open, it's one of those things where I'm like, should I be going to the library? Because I don't really want to be in contact with so many people. And, you know, so it's like, yes, the library was there as a resource, but is it wise for me to be using it? That type of thing. So I think it was interesting to navigate in a sense of, it just got to a point where, like, they opened different facilities on campus. So I would start using, like, I think it was like a sports hall. Like, I'll just go there, get my work done. And those were probably the times that I felt the most productive. Not felt, like, where I was the most productive, because I was able to say, okay, cool, I'm going to do my work on campus. When I get home, that's chill time, that's grace time. ETC. But yeah, so it was very interesting to navigate, but obviously I didn't have a dissertation to do, so Georgia, you can let us know all about that.
Yeah, no, I feel like it's really good that you sort of had, I don't know, that you were able to kind of split that up a bit and have this sort of time, like, where I guess spaces were relegated to different things, like you don't do work at home, you work outside of home, obviously. Yeah, no, but I guess I didn't start my dissertation until kind of term three, because that's how master's dissertation sort of work in humanities. I think when I started my dissertation, they were doing the thing where you go and sort of pick up books. You weren't really allowed into the library fully. That was weird. It was like a sort of strange, I don't know. The library was weird the whole year. It was weird to go in there and for it to be sort of completely different. But yeah, I'm the kind of person where I just do most of my work at home. Because I can't be bothered to go out to the library. So in many ways, I guess this year was kind of convenient for me in that I didn't really have to sort of move around a lot. But it was also just kind of strange. It's just a strange year all around. This is sort of completely different from Charlie's sort of lab trauma. But
it was traumatic.
Yeah, no, I can imagine.
One thing I noticed about working from home this year is that I've never been so behind in my life at work at all. I don't know if any of you agree, but yeah. I had some modules in term one of the lectures. I only finished all the lectures about week four of term two for the first term, and then I had to start all the lectures I'd missed from the first 4 weeks of term two starting again. And that was just horrendous. I've never been so behind in my life at work. I don't know if any of you can relate.
No, I literally, like, I was saying this with the episode that I just last recorded. I was talking to the girls about just how it's so crazy, because, like, we're all pretty, like, academic, you know, usually, like, really well-driven, or to some extent, or whatever, but all that seemed to sort of just go. Like, I kind of think I lost myself in the middle of everything, in a sense where it's like, who am I? Like, the thing that would usually drive me, or, like, you know, let's get this degree, let's do what needs to be done. I can't say that motivation was mostly there for the whole of, like, for the whole of second year. And I think it was crazy because I couldn't tell if I just didn't like the modules that I chose, or it was just because of the pandemic. And I just, do you know what I mean? Like, it got me very much doubting, like, this degree that I was very much like, yes, PPL, it's my dream course, get me on it. You know what I was talking about in my personal statement? It was very much like, oh, wow, like, do we still have that same passion? Or am I sort of just plodding through, you know, just trying to get through? It was very crazy to come to the realisation. But I think, yeah, I think so what I'm trying to say is, Charlie, I agree with you. I do agree with you. I've never felt this way about education before. But absolutely. I can't tell if that was a natural progression with the degree or it was because of the pandemic. But
it's strange.
Yeah, no, I feel like I've been in a slightly different position where somehow I've been a bit, like, more productive this year than I was, like, any other year that I've been in university. I don't know if that's because I don't know, I'm doing a master's degree and I was, like, better fix myself, or, like, the environment was just better for me. But, yeah, I definitely felt that sort of ending my third year last year at the very start of the pandemic. I felt like it had sort of a huge impact on, I don't know, my motivation to sort of finish writing a lot of, like, important essays that I had going on at the time. And I didn't have any exams or anything, but, like, it was just a weird time all around to be in education. And the fact that no one really knew what they were doing, it snowballed into this bigger thing. And I feel like because of the ending of last year, sort of lecturers and university were a bit more prepared for what this year was going to be like. But obviously sort of the restrictions and, like, the iffiness about everything going on made it so that, like, I don't know, for a week-to-week basis, I felt like I didn't really know what was going to happen the next week. And I didn't know if things were going to completely change. And I think for me, that encouraged me to be kind of more on top of things to sort of compensate for that.
Obviously, you were doing like a master's degree, so everything you do for that degree is in that 1 year. But do you feel like you got like the same amount of like quality of teaching or like of education that you would if you'd done it hypothetically in a different year?
See, the thing is, I'm really lucky in that I'm on a really small course. And at the start, I felt like the teaching was sort of the blended learning was really good for me. And the seminars that I had online were also, they all went really well. And I don't know, my lecturers were, I don't know, more than helpful with everything. But I do think that, I think lectures get a bit more sort of lost in translation when they're pre-recorded. And it's a lot more difficult to kind of convey things when you can't get feedback on the spot and be like, hey, I'm not clear on the thing you just said, could you sort of repeat it or explain it a bit more? So I think in general, the quality of my course was kind of as good as it could have been, but I would never take it over just in-person teaching.
No, I'm guessing having been in the previous recordings of the episodes, I'm assuming that we all agree that in-person teaching we kind of prefer over all the online stuff. There's just something about the lack of structure in the day and having the onus to not have like scheduled lectures and then be on campus for the entire day and then going home. You're just sort of stuck at home the entire time. And we're all human. There's so many better things we want to do than just sit down and watch like a lecture. And it's, I don't know, I'm hoping, I don't know, for the next year, I think Warwick's current policy is anything over 50 people in a lecture has to be online. But do you think there's going to be, like, room for that to change?
I don't know, but I didn't know that about Warwick. I was looking at the website the other day and I was trying to figure out what we're doing for this next academic year. But, yeah, that would be a good idea. But I think, I don't know, I think lectures are probably going to be probably still online, but I think in terms of just suggestions and like moving forward, I feel like there should be set days where the lectures are uploaded. And if anything, it should not reach the 1 hour, like 1 hour, 20 minute mark, because it's like, who is sitting there? Or maybe like live lectures is a good idea, I think. But obviously I understand that's a lot harder to do, but I think live lectures just work in terms of, at least I don't have the liberty of saying I'm going to stop, do it. Let me watch one lecture for 5 hours because it's very tempting, you know? So.
Yeah, no, they're definitely, if online lectures continue, then they definitely need to work on the format of them because, or the regulation of them, because sometimes I'd have a lecturer and they'd give 3 20-minute videos and that was the recommended format. But then I had this one module and this one person uploaded a 2 hour video for one lecture. And there definitely needs to be some sort of regulation, I feel.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's kind of scary because apparently it's allegedly cheaper, but it kind of does make sense to be cheaper to have just an online course. So there is incentive for most universities to keep most courses online. Although that does kind of, I feel,
at the expense of the debt of students, right? Because it's one of those things where, like, because I think when I talk about this, and like, we've got to extend grace because we didn't expect ourselves to be in a situation like this ever. We've just got to work with it. But then it gets to a point where it's like, if we can, you know, have things in person because it's cheaper for the running of the university, should we do that? Because I'm sure if students wanted to sign up for, you know, online university, they would have applied for online universities like Open University, for example. So it's like, we shouldn't be at the, because it's more convenient to lecturers and lecturers are able to get so much more done, etc. We shouldn't just, you know, sort of side with that because students aren't enjoying it or not even enjoying it. It got to a point where I've spoken to quite a few students and students have lost their love for their, like, they've lost their love, their passion for their degrees because everything is so tedious. Everything is so, you know, I've just got to get through, let me get through this day. And there's not really much to look forward to because societies, which is a very big part of university, everything was online. You know, I was on, like, I was on an exec last year, and doing events, it felt like I was very much doing events for myself. Like, people weren't showing up. If people were showing up, it was very, let's get this done with. There was no sense of community. There was no sense of fun. Like, this is something that we should do, you know, that type of thing. So the university experience has very much been sucked out, which obviously there's no, and there's the hardest thing to speak about this, or the hardest thing to reconcile, is there's no one to blame. So it's not like we can say, but we blame it on the lecturers, we blame it on the students. There's no one to blame. We can't even blame it on Boris, you know? So just one of those things where we just got to learn to navigate and just try to have fun in the moment and actually recognize that we can still try to somewhat find a sense of happiness in the moment. Because if we're complaining, it's a very unsustainable lifestyle. You know, there's always something to complain about.
Yeah, the last year of university was kind of mostly joyless. I'm usually active in like two societies, and I couldn't do any of them because they both relied on being heavily in person. So when it came to that, it was such just like a drag. It felt like a chore having to turn up and do something and then having to turn up and do all my degrees. And there was just like, I felt drained all the time because I was just sitting at a laptop for like nigh on 12 hours a day doing something. It's not healthy to have that sort of separation from people.
The fact that sort of everything was sort of compartmentalized into this one location, like of the laptop, like be that like your social life, your work life, your like education, everything is just there. And the fact that you can't just engage with people on a personal level, it's so difficult and it's just so tiring. Like you said, it's draining. I would have like even calls with my friends who I hadn't seen in like months, and I would come out of them feeling so tired just because like it was so nice to see them, but it was just kind of more of the same. Yeah, I think that's something that people haven't really talked about, that like everyone knows that it's different to talk to people online rather than in person. But I don't know, I feel like we don't acknowledge enough that it's just a bit tiring, that it can be really difficult to keep up with people in that way.
Yeah, definitely.
Very tiring. Like, and it's just draining, like, I don't know, it was hard in the sense of, like, I want to be speaking to my friends, but I don't also like the feeling of feeling like, oh, my gosh, you know? Like, I want to be present, but it's just very draining when you're going from a small screen to a big screen, back to a big screen, to a smaller screen, then to an even smaller screen, and it's just like, where's the balance? So I think it was really hard to find that sense of balance. Just, I think, what I'm starting to realise is I don't think that was necessarily a lockdown thing. I think that was just part of adulting. That's like my phase of going through adulthood just happened to be at the same time as lockdown. So it all very much felt like this is very foreign to me. This is not, is this real life? No one talks about this, you know, that type of thing. So yeah.
I know one benefit is that quite a few of my friends have graduated last year and this year. And it's always going to be more difficult, like, not seeing them now they're at uni. But since I've already had an entire year to prepare that I'm not going to see them in person and I can keep in contact with them online, that was probably the only good thing to come out of the pandemic, the fact that I already know the skill of keeping in touch.
Yeah, it's super strange because I sort of ended my undergraduate degree and, like, all of my friends live with me. And because of lockdown, we were, like, together 24/7. And to go from that to not, I don't know, to not seeing them for, like, almost a year has been just, like, insane. It's such a strange transition. And so I guess, yeah, it is good in, like, some ways that you've been able to sort of, I don't know, assimilate to that. But I think it's sad, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, how did either of you maintain, like, some sense of sanity, like a work-life balance when everything is on a screen? Because I didn't, to be honest.
Me neither.
I think my thing is, like, my flatmates, like, hated me for this, but, well, not really, but they would, like, yeah, anyway. What I would do is, like, if I was just feeling overwhelmed, I'd go have a shower. So, like, during, like, the November pandemic, not pandemic, the November lockdown, I was, at one point, I was probably having, like, 3 showers a day. It's really bad, but that was, like, the only time that I could, like, I would just sit in the bath and just, like, put my phone in my room and just get away from, like, you know, like, watching YouTube or, you know, that type of thing. But this, we're not even in lockdown, but this time around, I've decided to sort of, like, start reading a lot more. But obviously, it's a lot harder to read when you're reading 200 pages a week for your degree. So now I'm very much just... I'm trying to find new pastimes, like painting my nails, for example, you know?
Lovely. Like
yeah, I feel like getting a new hobby to cope with, like, such an early pandemic vibe. I was like, I'm going to start crocheting.
I'll become a completely different person just to pass the time.
Yeah. I like fully don't really remember any of sort of the winter lockdowns, just because they were so, I don't know, they were so the same and everything was so sort of mundane. And I think it was so different to kind of the first lockdown. And I've heard so many people saying this before, but because it was like the winter and it was so dark all the time, it was so depressing and like, yeah, no, I couldn't even tell you, like, one thing that happened during, like, the first 3 months of the year.
No, it was horrible. Like, I really did not, like, adapt well to those lockdowns. Like, I had quite a few sort of, like, anxiety surrounding my housemates because we all had very different attitudes towards the lockdown. And that kind of just... I don't know, it kind of meant I just couldn't leave my bed... I felt like I couldn't leave my bedroom as a sort of, like, way, and I couldn't cope with that, and I just had my laptop as the way of escaping, which kind of just made it worse. It was horrible. So it's like, in hindsight, maybe I should have learned crochet.
No, it's weird.
What are your opinions on, like, the technology that we've had to use to cope with? Because obviously Zoom was a godsend in March last year, but obviously there's a lot more things. We're using Microsoft Teams right now, but what do you think of Teams? Because that is 90% of my social life, was 90% of my social life.
I think, like, I don't know, people tend to have bad things to say about Teams, but I think Teams got the job done. Teams did what it needed to do. And, like, especially for, like, exec staff, like, it was very useful for everything to just, like, I think it was easy to navigate, and I'm happy for Teams, you know? I don't know what you guys think about Teams.
It was lucky because I remember it first being put on, like, a school laptop when I was in sixth form and being like, what is the point of this? Like, I'm never going to use this. And then, like, fast forward 3 years, it's like, oh, this is incredibly useful.
Yeah.
But you do get quite a lot of fatigue out of it because it is just another, like, video chatting thing. And when you go from, like, Teams to Zoom to, like, Messenger calls or whatever, it gets annoying, but it's fortunate that we actually had these kind of technologies, because if this happened 20 years ago, I think the pandemic would have been dealt with a lot differently. But, like, do you two have anything else to, like, say about, like, how online learning has been dealt with at university? Like, because we've all had seemingly very different experiences with it this year.
I feel like, I don't know, the overarching thing is, like, I don't know, I get a sense of empathy for sort of everyone involved. I think sort of the lecturers, at least I had, did the best that they could with a bad situation, and they understood that we were kind of going through it, and we understood that they were going through it, and that made it easier, that it was just this collective experience of just pure shit, really.
Yeah, literally.
I think that's my biggest takeaway, just that it was difficult for everyone, even if there were sort of different ways of dealing or experiencing that, everyone struggled in some way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I just agree with Georgia. I don't know, it was very interesting to navigate, and I think lockdown really put life in perspective, but going into this academic year, because... You guys are basically finished with... Wait, Charlie, are you doing the postgrad or...?
I'm doing the integrated masters, so it'll be slightly different to the first 3 years, but I'll still be around.
Okay, that's... So, I think going into my final year, I'm very much just, like, I kind of know what I want to do, and just, like, I want to do things the right way, in the sense of actually be able to find that balance, actually be able to enjoy myself in the middle of it, you know, do things that I want to do, grow, you know, that type of thing. So, yeah, it should be exciting.
Yeah, let's hope.
Yeah, I'm really excited for you, yeah.
That'll be great.
I spent so much of this year feeling, yeah, feeling bad for, like, first years who had to, like, go into the university experience in the pandemic. Like, I can't even imagine how difficult that was to sort of be put in a flat with people, and they were the only people you could talk to, and if someone got ill, everyone would get ill. Like, that sounds...
I know, right? Roots must have had a field day, because everyone was in self-isolation for all the time.
I hope things are better for you next year, probably, actually.
I hope so, too. It'll be very different, like, it'll be a lot more different to, like, the last couple of years, last year.
Yeah.
And hopefully we don't have to go back in, like, into lockdown again.
Hopefully.
But we'll still definitely, I think, feel very much the effects of it. I don't think the university is going to go back to normal just like that. Especially, and I'm not sure if you two think this is a bit crazy, that students use it as a scapegoat for all government policy. So it's like... Oh, there's a massive spike in cases. Let's blame the students.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I feel like we're a scapegoat for anything bad that's going on, really, aren't we?
Yeah, we really are.